We spotted the ocean, the head of the trail. Where are we going? So far away. Somebody told me this is the place where everything's better.
It's from the Bong. It's what a wonderful, beautiful day it is here, and we've got a Sunday my end and a Saturday night Dave's end. I'm in the future, he's in the past, conjuring up all the amazing stuff that he knows, and we're on Bongversation number 5, and we were going to be discussing the number 6. The number 6. So on that note, how are you, Dave? And you're ready to go and give us your revelation.
Well, yeah, doing well. I was just thinking, you know, if with the idea of six, if you just want to take a look at what it is, it's the idea of present. If you think about time, it's this moment right now. This is the six. This is the present. Now, then moving forward, we get into the idea of the 69 idea. But right now it's six. This moment is six. You can also look at that as being a box or a present, like you get a present on or a gift, because boxes are oblong cubes or six sides and eight corners, with what's inside as being the mystery, the seven, the idea. You know, what is the Zion, or what is the power that the present possesses that is causing the subject, the person, to accept that gift as something they want to spend time with?
It's interesting they call it a present. You get a present, and that box is a present.
Correct. And a book is basically, is if you look at it, it's an oblong cube. As you open it, you will go into the ideas presented, yeah. Present. So then, So then you have, just within the six, you have, if here's the thing about it, however, now this is, remember, we started this series at one and we're going to go all the way through nine. What as it collapses onto itself or it's dismissed, it becomes the one or the zero, the input or the output. You either take time with it or you dismiss it. So then when you first see something first grabs your attention, you say, hey, remember five was hey? Hey. Yep. And you look, hey now. You look present. Now you're into it. Now you're accepting that gift. Now you're going to go into it. What is the seven? What is the power of it? And then what is the corners? Because each box or each cube has six sides and eight corners. So you have to account for all of that. So then the eight corners represents, remember, if you remember the, Sandy Hook's doctor who said, it's a wonderful thing. He's talking about a tent.
Dr. Carver.
It's Dr. Carver. So he's talking about it's being a wonderful thing. It's the idea of an expression of the notice of all the different points, meaning that this person can now see all the details within this containment, and then they feel enlightened. However, they are only enlightened to the limits of that box or that containment. You're limited to what is contained in the book, unless you have some external revelation, some external mind or power, which in my case is my Lord Jesus Christ, to tell you or to guide you to the truth through his spirit, through his mind. Therefore, it's like, okay, this, you read it, then you can go test it. And then here's all these worldly presents given to you, whether it be through books, through movies, through random items given to you as gifts that have some sort of meaning. You know, it might not mean anything to someone else. However, when you hold it, that it brings you to a present time or a snapshot in time. If you think about a snapshot, that too is an oblong cube. Even a Polaroid film strip is an oblong cube, because it has six sides and eight corners. It's quite oblong, but it's still the same thing. So what we're talking about tonight is that present, the idea of six, which you can also see, just to wrap your head around this, you can see it as the 33 idea. If you put the three to the mirror, the ring to mirror, you see, you see that idea. So then you have the 33, the idea of the six. And then also in the mirror, you see the eight. So you see the 68. So everything that I'm telling you is provable by simple mirror observation. And you can either do it with your fingers, or and if someone's not that creative in their mind, they can do it with a piece of paper. Just use the edge of the piece of paper and hold it to the mirror. You see what happens then. So then I wanted to also say that on the sixth idea, if you want to know the idea of scripture in what this present day is about, kind of like what your job, J-O-B, like the book of Job is an Old Testament story. However, if you want to see the modern day idea of what the trials and tribulations of a life in Christ entails, you need to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first three in any order, but John you should leave for the last, just the sixth chapter of each one.
The sixth chapter of each one,
because each one is going to go into how you're not there to please men. It's going to go into the hypocrisy of the system. It's going to go into the mass and how the mass will consume what you give them as long as there is something there. But as soon as there's nothing there for free, they will then simply turn their back and leave you. If you read through all of that, it even gets to the point and ends, if you leave it with John at the last the one you read, it ends with the idea of the Judas character. All right?
Yeah.
So that is the idea, because we're looking at each idea as something that you can stop time and view a scene. Now we're just viewing the scene at the present. And then those, if you read just through those four, you'll get a very good idea of that, of scripture. The reason I want to kind of move away from that is because that turns a lot of people off, because they say, oh, I don't want to, well, just do it one time. See what you get. Mm. I would like to then turn it to the idea I told you about earlier, about how the box or the present is represented in the Clive Barker movies, Hellraiser.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So then you have the idea, and you shared with me earlier in the week, you shared with me an article, I guess, you sent that was talking about or deconstructing the six sides of it. Right. So then
that's
you have.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. So I did a bit of, I went and looked at that. Yeah. So the six. Yeah, exactly. It's strange. It'd be a six sided thing. And you know,
well, it's not strange at all, being that it's present. It's being presented to you, because what happens in the movies? Let's say if you go to the first one, which is the idea of Hellbound Heart. That was the original book, was called The Hellbound Heart. Now, if you look at the word heart, you can see in between the H and the T is the word ear. Ear.
Yep.
So you're hearing. So then you're coming, you're hearing of something. And in this case, the character Frank, the bad guy who buys the, if you remember, he goes at the very beginning of the movie. This is 1987 is when this comes out. If you remember 1987, if you reduce it, that's to 25 or to 7, meaning mind. Do you see how this present is going to offer you an idea of a mind? Now then here's the scene. So the old guy's sitting there, and it's like, and it looks to me, as you watch the film, it looks to me like it's a far east part of Asia. All right. And so he's sitting there, and he goes, "What's your pleasure, Mr. Cotton?" The guy's name is Frank Cotton. Yeah. And Frank goes, "The box." And then he goes, "Take it. It's yours. It's always was." So he says that as if that's a predestination idea, meaning that box was meant for that character to run into at that time. Regardless, it would have happened. So then you notice in the next scene that the character is in a ring of 21 candles. Now, I know that you know the idea of 21, the idea of, yeah, 2 + 1 = 3, the idea of a ring. So you have the ring to rule them all. And then you also have the idea of if you remove one from the 21, if you remove that one, you are left with the 20-sided shape, or it's like the 20-sided D&D shape.
I-C-O-S-A-G-O-N,
however you say that. That's what a 20-sided, it's the same as the Price is Right wheel, is the same. The Price is Right wheel at the game show, I don't know if you know it over there, but in the United States, people would
I know. I do know the game, yeah, and okay, that's interesting you should say that. Yeah, no coincidence.
Yeah, so that's a 20-sided. So that's the big deal. That's the wheel of choice. So then you notice that with this character. So when the character is brought in to the box is not forced upon them, right? So that's even within so-called life. Now, the choices, the bad choices people make are not forced upon them. They accept the choice. For example, to bring it into the latest physical manifestation, the actual COVID-19 injection, that was a puzzle box. That was a present that was offered to the public as a gift, and said, if you take this, then all your wildest dreams will come true. All right, it was a bill of goods. So then you see that, however, that is the same thing as the puzzle box in these different movies. So what you can do is you then separate, because this storyline is really across a lot of different movies. But if you just separate all the nonsense, gore, and extraneous scenes and listen to some of the dialogue, you'll quite quickly see that this is just a shared story throughout time, meaning that if you choose to forget what you already know, you are going to relive it.
Yeah. And you're given the choice, and it's interesting that the whole game show system is the and pick a box is another one.
What's pick a box? Is that something over there?
It's a game show from the 70s, I think, and probably over there, and probably in England as well, but probably over here. But Pick a Box is definitely a game show of the same ilk as what you just said, with the spinning wheel.
You know,
and you're given the choice.
You know what's also interesting, Rick, is that the word, W-O-R-D, it reduces to 60 or 569 or to 24-6. So it reduces to 6. So the word is present. So if you remember John 1:1 is in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Therefore, you have this idea that that in the word is present. So the word is present. So each word is a present, and a present that can be a blessing or a curse, one or the other, right? It's a blessing if I offer you the truth. It's a curse if someone then offers you a lie. Or if someone stands in front of you as a gatekeeper, or if someone stands in front of you as a devil's advocate, one of those type spirits, and you'll run into them. Right?
Oh yeah. So it's part of life.
Yeah. So then I found it also, remember that we also talked together before about the 9/11 idea, 9 + 2 1s. You know, the 9/11, the idea of two towers falling, and 9 being idle, or the opposite of present. So now we're in the present time. If this present time that we are now given is wasted, it becomes idle, flipped on its head, a hanged man. All right. A false input output. Because remember, the hanged man becomes the 6. He goes from 5 to 6 because his senses are flipped upside down. That's why that's why it's called the pentagram idea with the two horns sticking up. So then 9/11 if you go to the idea of Luke, and that's a funny thing about Napoleon Wilson would like that, the idea of a lot of the Luke quotes being from the book of Luke being used in the Star Wars movies, especially with the Darth Vader character. So, yeah. But what you have Luke 19:10, which is the idea of 9/11, which is the idea of if you reduce that, you have the 11. You talk about that a lot. The 11 is the two or the concern. So it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now then, how can someone be lost unless they were misled by the present?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I would like to. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking that shape is, you know, of the hexagram, or the hexagon, is like parachutes are based on a hexagon. Umbrellas are all hexagon. You know, there's a lot of
because it's creating a containment.
Yeah,
it's creating a protection layer.
Yeah.
Now, that protection might be true or false in its intent, however. It might offer you then comfort. A lot of times when people lie to themselves, that lie offers them comfort because it allows them not to recognize the truth. Because if the truth is recognized and they are a true man or woman and they are not a tare or they are not a child of Satan who quite literally cannot do anything but lie, then they will recognize the error of their ways and simply repent, which means change their mind. And once you know something's not right, you stop doing it. That you simply change your mind. All you did was repent. Yep. That's it.
Yep. And that's so you repent. Repent. So pent
yes.
is. Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk about like the idea of kneeling. Or kneeling, the idea of when someone is brought into subjection, not by force, but by conviction of conviction or conviction of their own intent. They might be caused to kneel, right? To take it to kneel on the ground. And what's interesting about the annealing process within the physical space, whether it be semiconductor or even other metal annealing, is that you have three types of or three parts of the annealing. You're either performing a recovery, you're performing recrystallization or the idea of rebuilding, or now that's strength wise, or you're gaining growth, which is overall size. One of those three different things is happening during the annealing process because you're adding heat, which allows for a process to happen. In the case of semiconductor, you anneal a wafer so that you can align all the poles of the magnetic heads in one direction. Because otherwise, you would be trying to tense metal against itself. So you anneal it. All right. So then,
how's that spelled? Is that spelled the same way as kneeling?
No, it's A N N E A L.
Okay.
And then I N G at the end if you're doing it. So that idea though is you're annealing in physical life, and in physical life if you're building a product to exist in this life, let's say computer projects or any other. You're using a kneeling process. So the sound is the same if I say it to you. If you don't know the context, you would then say, are you talking about kneeling on the ground or are you talking about the manufacturing process, right? You would see that, yeah. that would be a clarifying position. However, simply just not knowing is something where you say, okay, if you don't know that, you write it down and you look it up. It's what happens most of the time when you deal with talking back and forth is you will have the idea of the split or the tear or the idea of the demon. Now the demon is, remember the Cenobites in the Hellraiser, back to the Hellraiser movie. If you play with the box, the Cenobites come. Now, I say that that's a play on words because it's not spelled the same, but I look at it as like centa, as like a hundredth, like a cent or a penny. right? Yeah. A copper, a COP, like an enforcer. So a copper bites. Now, with a byte, you have one byte is equal to 8 bits in the idea of computer language, right? So then,
that's interesting. That'd be called centibytes, yeah. And bytes being the computer. Yeah.
So, well, and remember, daemon within a computer program, daemon, is a computer program that does not need you, the end user, to execute itself.
Well,
all right. So a daemon can execute. Like I tell people, the best place to see this is send an email to a bad email address, and then look at the response. It's going to tell you that a mailing daemon sent you this back.
I noticed that.
Yeah, and then guess what happens with the idea about running processes? It's like a body. If you take off from a dead stop, and you start. And you pull a hammy. That's the idea. You lose time. Time is cycles. Now, if a daemon executes, and if there is at any point a lost cycle, there is the there's the chance that a file will become orphaned. It's called orphaned, just like a little baby orphan. All right. So the orphan file, then you have daemons that will go out and fork. F-O-R-K. Fork the orphan files. That's the actual computer language. If you don't think you're reading
a magic spellbook. Who came up with this language? Who came up with this language?
It's a spellbook. Because this is the language. This is the language of. This is the language that has always been there. However, you're using, instead of me passing you a piece of paper or parchment with a spell on it, you are watching it on the screen, or you're listening to it on the screen. And all of this is happening because of this. Just so you know that.
Yeah, and no coincidence, Apple's logo, you know, with the apple with a bite taken out of it, you know.
Yeah, so that's also the meaning of being as wise as a serpent, but innocent as a dove, meaning that to know all this and to know how the system works is just being what's called responsible. Because within the system of the so-called law of the sea, I'd like to tell you that the law of the sea or the holy sea, the idea of the code of law, ignorance of that law is no excuse. So I tell people, I say, if you're in someone's land, I see, with me, I'm free in Christ, so I'm past death. However, when I'm in someone's land, right, currently I'm in Arizona within the United States territory, I follow their rules. Because that's just who I don't trespass. All right. If they don't want something to happen there or do something there, fine. And guess what I do is I just simply don't participate if I don't agree with doing it. Daddy, I don't make a stink. You don't trespass, because trespass is not only physical, but it's spiritual and so-called, quote-unquote, emotional.
Yes. Right?
So then let's lead right into the – if I want to like bookend the Hellraiser movie with just number 4. Because a lot of them are kind of not really part of the like, you know, with X-Files, you have certain X-Files episodes that are part of the storyboard or the overarching story of the syndicate, you know, or the overall plan or the black oil. But some episodes are standalone. Some of the Hellraiser movies are standalone. However,
how many? Is about 5 of them. I think there's about, is it 5 or is it 6? There's been a number of them.
8 or 9 now.
Well, far out.
So the fourth one came out in 1996. Now, remember the first one came out in 1987, which equals, when you reduce it, 7, or the mind. The fourth one, which is, remember the idea of the Dalet or the door, came out in 1996, which also then reduces to 25 or 7, right? Or mind. So then there's your bookend. Do you see the bookend? Now, if you put those two sevens together, you can create a doorway, or what's called a, where does the door fit? But in the door frame. So you have the ground, and you have up, over, and down. That's your 3. All right. The ground is where you're standing, where your mind is. So then it starts and it opens. I'm just going to go through the first little bit if people decide to watch this, but it starts with the idea of the space station Minos. Minos, and its number is 20, and this is in the year 2127, which reduces the 12 and or 3. Remember, 3G and 7 are the same idea, because within the Phoenician, the third space or the third letter looks like what you see as a 7. So that's why Masons use the G in their art, or the big G. That's why they have 7 different, you know, this, that, and the other thing for their education systems. So you have the idea of the Minos is the myth king, or called the good king. Now, what I find interesting about that is that this so-called good king is now good's in name only. And this is why the Bible tells you specifically call no man good. However, this guy is known for tax and control. This guy's known for tax and control. So this guy is known for the so-called current structure of Western government, whether it be code of law or code of the sea, or what you see as the fighting bull, or what you see as the trident. When you hold it up, if you see someone holding up the trident with their fingers, that's all talking about the same idea of Minos, or the idea of the bull, the idea of worshiping or sacrificing to the bull. Think about not only the bull as in financial or in the idea of law, the tough guys being the bulls, but think of it as in the idea of truth and false. That's bull. That's not true. So then you have a system of tax control of Crete. So think of the Cretans. Think of just what do you think of when you hear Cretans? Think of a lowly scumbag. Just like in the Navy, when they call you a petty officer, so if you're an enlisted guy, here's the thing, sport. This is what they'll tell you. Like, sit down, and you're like, all right, listen to me, sport. No matter how high you get in the enlisted ranks, you are still going to be called a petty officer. You never forget that. Now you go out there and you go fill them sandbags and look sharp about it. You better turn that frown upside down, boy. I thought that would be, well, it's also the interesting thing about Minos, or the idea of bull, is that if you listen to these characters that will talk a lot about the demiurge. The idea of the fallen. They're speaking about this character, because all of these different myths and characters lead back to the idea of Zeus and Europa, the idea of seduction and beauty, dealing with the idea of weather or air. Now, who is the god of the air but Satan? So you deal then, even with going back to the idea of the demiurge, these same people will show you this kind of snake who is standing on its rear end with a cobra snake-like head.
Yeah.
You notice that? Well, yeah. What happens? Yeah. So.
Oh, you there?
No, yeah, yeah. No, I'm here. Sorry. So what happens there is, so that is the same snake. That's the same serpent that you run into in the Book of Adam and Eve, chapter 18. If you haven't read the Book of Adam and Eve, read chapter 18. You're going to run into that same exact character who is now promoted as the idea of the demiurge, or at least the symbology of it, because the demiurge is a larger idea. However, the character that's presented by those so-called occultists, or what do they even call themselves nowadays? Those that follow Plato and Socrates and all these dumbbells. The modern day philosopher.
Yeah.
The modern day heathen philosopher.
Yeah, I don't know what they're called, but there's plenty of them about.
Yeah, so then, but what those characters are doing, and they haven't taken the time, or they are blinded, because it does say that the god of this world will blind them. So even though the truth is directly behind the veil, they don't see that they're worshiping, and by worship, I mean giving time to, this character who is the same snake spoken about in chapter 18 of the Book of Adam and Eve.
Well, it's interesting, the shape of the six, is it like a snake, you know, and the S is the, you know, and
got the, well, the S is the 19 well. Idea, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then you, well, the S, yeah, the S is the 19 idea. So that's the you see the 9 in there. Just flip that upside down. That's the 6 as well.
Yeah.
Remember, anytime you see the 9, you have to see the 6. And when you see the 6, you know it's going to become a 9 if you take it into time. Because your only other option is to, what is your only other option when something is presented to you? It's to drop it, to not look at it, to leave it alone. Then it doesn't even, See, then none of this that we're talking about even takes effect. You get up to that point, you drop it, you walk away, no time wasted, except for the few seconds or moments that you noticed it. All right. Yeah. So then now I wanted to talk about, did you have anything to add? I'm sorry.
That's good. Normally I can just keep going on and on, but the hexagram, right? It's the ancient symbol appearing in the worldwide. Right. It's a worldwide logo. You know, so you've got the, Seal of Solomon, the Muslim Seal of Solomon. You've got it as the, it was the, how they could capture magically the jinn. In a, you needed to capture them using the symbol, the hexagram.
Yeah.
It's also the Jewish, you know, shield of David, and the Hindus, it's the mark of Vishnu.
Absolutely.
So, you know, dealing with, that's three of the biggest religions on the planet. Well, most notorious ones all have this plane, hexagram shape.
All across the plane. The eye of God, by the way. The universe is shaped is the universe is the eye of God. Meaning, if you remember, if you go to the end, it says that when time ends, it's when at the blink of an eye. So when this all ends, when God blinks his eye, he's like, it's over. Time ends. The mystery is solved. It's done.
The twinkling of an eye.
Yep. So beep, gone. And you can also look at how the idea of this, the sky will roll away. So it's the idea of lids, eyelids, eyelids, the idea. So then I was going to just say to lead into the Hindu idea, which is really where this Hellraiser idea comes from. You have a character called, Mahakala, which is associated with the idea of the crow. Also, this is going to lead back to Satan because it's also known, as Devi or D-E-V-I. Devi, that's almost the idea of devil. And it also, it ties in with Kali or which reduces to guess it 25 or 7.
Number seven.
Well, because that would be the mind of. So if you have the mind of Mahakala, if you take the time to look that up on YouTube and listen to any of the so-called videos that are prayer times with this Mahakala, it sounds very dark and gruesome. It's horrible stuff. But then what then?
Oh, I think all of their ages sound horrible. I mean, the Kali Yuga, you know.
Yeah.
Et cetera, you know. Well,
recall the last line in Book of Adam and Eve. The last line, which would be chapter 18, which is 8 + 1 = 9. The last verse is, guess what? Number 9. And a wind came to blow from heaven by command of God that carried away the serpent from Adam and Eve, threw it on the seashore, and it landed in India. India.
Where?
Exactly. Now, let me tell you first.
Abraham, Brahman, coincidence.
Now then to roll that 9 back, because that's that remember 9 is the idea of the continuation into time. So 6, let's roll it back and then go back to verse 6 and see what happened. It says, then the word, we already talked about the word reducing to 6. Remember? And then the word of God came to the serpent and said unto it, in the first instance, I made thee glib. And glib is the idea of like a silver tongue salesman type. Yeah. Very slick.
Glib.
And made thee to go upon thy belly, but I did not deprive thee of speech. All right. then what happens? So now that you see the idea of a threatened action. Now then, if you go to seven, which is the idea of the new mind given, now, however, be thou dumb and speak no more, thou and thy race, because in the first place has the ruin of my creatures happened through thee, and now thou wishest to kill them. How does he kill them? Through his word, his fallen word, or his glibness. Now, if you remember, why does it matter that the speech was deprived in the mind of the Satan? Well, what happens is then how does the so-called Satan interact with mankind today? That's talked about in the Book of Enoch. Now, if you go back to the Book of Enoch, it talks about how the giants were made uncreated, meaning that I've talked to you before about this. If someone claims they found giant bones or a giant blah, 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 they're lying to you, because the giants that were talked about were made uncreated, meaning that their physical existence was completely removed from this place. What was left, however, what was left, however, was the spirit, and that spirit was left in the air. So then guess what happens? Even if you have the idea of the Noah's Ark, or the idea, because you have two different stories of destruction. You have the idea of air and water and fire and earth. All right. Remember, so you have air and water and the idea of an ark or a stored idea. What's still available in the air and what still exists in the air but those same fallen spirits? So how then do they then come back onto the earth after the repopulation idea? Well, they were always there. They've been there since the beginning. Therefore, if you look at the idea of the fallen spirit moving through mankind, it's been here from the beginning. And the only way out is through Jesus Christ. Yeah, the only way out is through Jesus Christ. And guess what? You can't even ask for that. That's what most people don't understand. That's like, it's kind of like when I can tell people who haven't read the book of 1984 or any, I can tell who hasn't read the actual scripture, the script of this play, this place, this scene that you find yourself in. The script says, it doesn't say that you get to pick your way. It says that you are chosen. And the only way that you can get out is if you can hear the choice being made and you open that door. All right. So the knock is made. I've called you. Will you come out of that world? No, then you stay, and you stay in death. You stay in the groundhog. You stay each day talking about the same thing over and over and over again. And then guess what? Each day you dissipate even more from the day before. Because you have no sustenance, no meat, no true living water, no present. That present was not a gift of life. It was a gift of death. That is the idea that's the idea that's brought into through the Hellraiser movies. Because it's also called, remember the fourth one? We were at the fourth one, how it kind of bookend together. It's also called Bloodline. Hellraiser Bloodline, because it goes back into the story of how the actual box was made, the Philip Le Merchant. They just add the merchant. And the idea of the merchant is the Jew.
Yeah.
All right. So then you see that this idea is passed down through the Jew. All right. And guess what the Jew within that movie was seen as? He was shown as a magician. And the magician had a toy maker, much like Pinocchio, made a box to his specifications, which was not something. It was something channeled to him, through him, to the toy maker. Do you see? And then the box, what you know as the puzzle box with Helm, what you know if you see the movie, the box itself, its beginning is that of a toy. Do you see how the toy then becomes quite serious? No more fun and games once Pinhead shows up?
Yeah. What do you think representative of Pinhead being?
Pinhead is Mahakala. Mahakala is represented as this lotus-seated formed being with pins coming out of his head, but in, as in flames, usually sometimes referred to as pins, depending on who you're reading from. But it is the protector of the Dharma, the idea of the protector of the so-called God of this world. It is, everything is mentioned specifically to tell you that this is the same character as Satan, same exact character.
Yeah, so Dharma, as in Dharma, you know, the Hindu Dharma.
Yeah.
Which I also tied in with that, you know, that story of the cannibal Jeffrey Dahmer.
Right.
Exact same pronunciation, same, you know, deliberate smear of the word. So Dharma is God by the Hindu sort, or is it a feeling or a presence? Because achieving Dharma is a good thing.
Well, no, this is more in the instance of being the protector of the creation itself, of
right,
the whole,
okay.
Including everything within the tent. Because at no point do any of these characters, the only one who tells you the way out is Jesus Christ. That's the only one. Yeah. The rest of these characters tell you, you got to go see customer service. Oh, I did. Well, so you look at going back to Pinhead as being that character within so-called Hindu, which is Mahakala, which also, if you look at the way that that's spelled, it's very, there's a lot of so-called Hawaiian. So the Hawaiian islands.
Sounds extremely like Hawaiian.
Yeah. So I'd be interested. So to look then at the idea of who becomes Pinhead, the Pinhead character was his screen name was called Elliot Spencer. Now Elliot Spencer reduces to 153 in simple gematria, and that's the same as think mirror. Because remember what Elliot Spencer does is he's looking. They're seeking the box because they have like the Frank character. In the first one, he's the nihilist, selfish, moral degenerate. You know, not our Frank, but the Frank in the Hellbound Heart, the Frank, and even in the movie, he's a nihilist, selfish, moral degenerate who is looking for the ultimate fix, the ultimate carnal. Everything. So that's where he gets the box. Remember, we went through that scene. So that box is representative of that present mind, because if someone is in a state of pleasure, ecstasy, grace, it's all at that moment in mind, meaning that their body. Do you see?
So then
Elliot Spencer, the idea of, and it's also what I find interesting about 153 in the simple gematria is so if it's, I don't want to confuse you. So Elliot Spencer. So if you spell it exactly like on the script, ELLIOTSPENCER, just to make sure that the people get the spelling right. Because if you're going to go into so-called gematria, you have to use the calculator for the language you're using. So if you're speaking English, use English or simple. Because that's the, if you're, you can't use this calculator and that calculator and this, you can't use an English word and decode it in Hebrew. You can, but it's not going to be the same idea. You're going to see it's related, but it's, you have to root down to, if you're going to use language, as all language is spells, because all words are cast out of one's mouth to another one's ear. Remember with ear, we talked about that before. Within the heart comes through the ear. So then 153 is also the same as tonight, be ready, or be ready tonight, or the idea of transistor. All right. So what is a transistor? But it's a three-part process. So you amplify, you have an emitter and a base collector, right? So then you become the on-off switch when you take this presence of mind. What happens, you know, Rick, why weren't you out there shooting those three pointers? Hey, sorry, coach. My mind wasn't with it. You know, okay, Rick, I need you to be better next week. We're taking on Central Aussie State, you know, see how your mind, how even within the so-called physical life, your mind, if your mind's not in the moment, you're not going to be physically 100% into
your mindset. mindset.
Yeah, your mind, mindset. Your mindset. Remember I said set, and we set this talk about the first and the fourth movies? Set.
Yeah.
Now, the idea of a mathematical set or an equation, the idea of a full mathematical thought put between the brackets. No, so if you have the one and the four, one plus four is five. That's your senses. So we talked about five. Now your senses have been brought into present. What is the one and the four also? But the seven plus seven. Do you remember if you put the two sevens together, you make the doorway or the door arch, which the door can be put into the three. So that's why it also, the idea also, is transistor, because that's a three pronged idea. Do you see? So the if you follow the script of existence, all you then do is look at the degrees of separation. If a word sounds like a word, follow that sound to its meaning.
Because I'll just interrupt. You said before about the wind, that the breath, was it the wind or breath of God that that went into India,
breathe,
or sent something into
breathe,
right? You know that, you know, in Hebrew it's ruach is the breath of God, right?
Right.
By coincidence, by complete coincidence, last night it had popped into my head. Because I've been looking at people around here all over the place, government people, people in shop, they're now wearing these badges that says, are you okay? Are you okay? And it's meant to be, it's R-U-O-K, Ruach, when you say it phonetically.
Oh, yeah.
But it's supposed to be something about mental health, and you ask people, are you okay? But I thought, no, there's something else in here, and it's Ruach, which is what you just said before, the breath of God, or it's the spirit or something or other. Yeah. So,
because God is spirit. Therefore, you must speak to God in spirit. You must become a friend in spirit. And that's why people make fun of me about my 3 days in the closet thing. But what that means is spirit.
All I heard was apparently that was really funny. I got that bit.
Well, it's the three. It's the idea of the three. It's the idea of just simply the ring, not necessarily three physical days, but three, the idea of a ring, meaning that you bring yourself into the ring of silence, you know, like get smart, bring yourself into the ring of silence, or the cone, like put it like a dunce cap in the idea of the metaphorical or spiritual closet, meaning that you commune. You relax with God, like with the idea of Isaiah 17, like a clear heat upon herb in the heat of harvest. Right? So then it talks about reposing with God, meaning that with me, I repose with my Lord Jesus. Now, what that means is if I have a question, I repose. I pray. I think about it in silence, in private, and then it is rewarded publicly by the utterance of my mouth. My mouth then offers the reward of that to the audience that hears me, whoever that might be. That's how that then represents itself.
Yes.
It's like the idea of the apple or the orange, like the idea of if you look at the idea of colors. Now, if we're talking six specifically, so if you want to talk about 600 nanometers, the idea of color, you would be directly in the idea in the color of orange. Now, just remember, orange now is which is associated with the idea of 33 as well, six or present. All right. So then all of this then will tie back into itself. The color of law, the color of, people say, what is the color of money? What is the color of law? What is the color of love? What is the color of envy? And so you have these different ideas and colors that are added to feelings. And when someone does tell you, just even, to manifest a word as a spell, I can create a picture in your head by simply saying, Rick, can you picture for me a red, delicious apple? Yep. Can you imagine that? Yes. So now I just literally controlled your mind. My intent, however, was to offer you that as an example of what I'm telling you tonight, not as an evil intent. if someone has evil intent, they will offer you an image into your head, because remember, you are the image of God. They will offer you a false image, which will eclipse that image, just like with the so-called sun and moon eclipse, which are simply just a cancellation of light wave, because they are lights, they are not destinations. So then the same idea then veils your God image, and then you become jaded, you become grayed out, you become blurred to the truth. You can still see it, you still know it's there. You're not going to go so far as to deny it and become anti-Christ. However, you're still a prodigal son, a prodigal light, someone who is still wandering. What are you doing? Oh, I'm looking for myself. I'm trying to find. Okay, that you know that person. You know they're still out there.
Yeah,
they're still the wandering light looking for a home.
Yeah,
because remember, if you overlay the six and the nine, so if you take the six, the present, and you put it into time, nine, which is idle. Remember, it's idling. If your car's idling, it's still taking energy. You're not going anywhere, but it's sitting there. So it's 69. If you overlay those and look at them from the top, you're looking at the eight, right? Because you see how it makes an eight, or the infinity. That is the idea of the image of God, the present given to you. So the present is your soul pressed upon the idol, which is your body, because the body is what carries your mind around. And then that becomes what is your temple. So then you physically take care of yourself, and let no man judge you in your eat or drink, by the way. Let no man judge you in your eat or drink, period. And then that's biblical. I won't tell you, there's nothing new under the sun. It's biblical. Don't let any man judge you on your meat or drink. And it's also biblical that herbs are called meat in Genesis 1.
Isn't it interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? So a herbivore could be a meat eater.
Well, yeah. Well, everyone's a meat eater, because anything that sustains your physical body is
meat.
Building the meat. Therefore, they don't look alike, yet they still can be used to in concert with each other. Therefore, they're not disalike. Is that the way I said that?
Yeah.
It's a false contention. If people are, I'm telling you, don't let anyone judge you in your meat or drink. Period. Yeah. Period. It's like, if they bring it up, walk away. If they bring it up, walk away. We didn't go out to dinner so you can complain what's on my plate. We came out to dinner so I can talk to you, so I can move you out of whatever this, that, or the other thing. Or you came out to talk to me. Whatever. What did you come out for? Because you didn't come to complain about what's on my plate or me on your plate. So let's get past that small talk and let's talk about why we got here. You know, that. And then people are actually communicating.
The most important thing, communication. Right. Miscommunication, and you are completely, you're on your own. Communicate, and you can help instruct and receive instruction. So
right.
It's fantastic. That's what it's all about, you know. And we, the fantastic ability we have at the moment of me in Australia, you know, with kangaroos not far away from me, very probably just down the road, and you in Arizona clearing your sinuses.
I love that. Yeah, I saw that commercial you sent. That was great.
It's an incredibly famous commercial from the 60s that take your sinuses to Arizona.
Right.
And why not? Well, I think we're probably baffled.
We have one more segue. Kind of the big one. We have one more Saturn to go.
The final Saturn
of the show will be about the idea of that sixth idea or sixth planet idea. All right.
Yes.
And the idea of there's a lot, and you have the idea of the, so what is, if I say that each light in the sky is a light, then break down what is a light, but an idea, what is a light, but a frequency that if read can offer you information of its being, because it cannot produce just a creation. Light is not going to produce it, an image other than of itself. So then you have these different ideas that are associated with Saturn. One being the idea of the top hat, or the top man, or the ring, the circus ring leader. That's three ring circus leader.
The cube yeah. is featured yeah. in Saturn. Yeah.
The present being, because who's offering you the circus but the main jester? Because he is also, while he's wearing a top hat and trying to look dignified, he also at the same time looks silly, because he's still a jester for the world and offering you bread and circus for your enjoyment. That's literally the three ring circus. The three, the six, the nine idea.
3, 6, 9.
So then you also have the idea of the so-called rings of Saturn, all right?
Mm.
So then
the most powerful logo I see today is the rings of Saturn, and I'm talking about car logos are all Saturn. Now, not all of them, but majority of the big ones are all Saturn. It's everywhere. Have a look at your adverts for most corporations that always have a Saturn logo. You know, the Nike logo is a Saturn, the ring of Saturn.
Right.
Mm, powerful, powerful, powerful.
Keep going. So absolutely. So you have the idea of gaps and what it really is, instead of being what they show you on the so-called images or pictures on the computer screen, all that's bullshit, all that's made up. What, however, is can be derived from any light source is a recording of its sine wave or its signature. Now then, once that can then be placed onto a record, and then that record, if you have the key and you know what ring to go to, you can then have a record of what was produced before you. So then any type of transference into the air, even voice is recorded for all time. So this is the thing. Here's what most should actually think about. The F ring, the idea of the six. All right. You're effed if the recording at the end of time finds you to be a false witness or a liar, because that is the idea of the record being kept. There is a record being kept.
Interesting. I thought of you the other night. I was talking about this last night on I can't remember who, I did a couple of chats, but on the news, it wasn't on the news. I was listening to a supposed Christian radio host late at night discussing completely off the topic. So they might have been discussing cheese, but somehow they managed to bring in that six people were slaughtered, shot in the back of the head. Six people shot in the back of the head by Hamas. As they were being released, they were hostages. And this is, they deliberately brought this subject in. They were obviously told, you need to bring this, we need to have this negative story put into this unrelated conversation. But it was number six. And I felt like ringing them up and saying, did you personally witness these deaths?
Exactly. Exactly. No. Because that is the idea of the generational curse in actual operation. You witnessed another man false witness death to the world. Therefore, what happens if a little
child bring it up? He didn't bring it up, but he's been told to.
And that's the thing about this is nobody has to bring any of this up. The reason that they do is they have not existed outside of the mindset of mourning enough to have any frame of reference outside of that mourning state. So what that means in simple terms is that most live their entire existence in a state of mourning, to where all they can relate to are other stories or fragments that bring in the idea of mourning. It's the idea to where they don't know what they're doing. They're quite literally ignorant to the point. However, now where's the change? The change is when someone becomes aware, just like when you were a child, when you become aware that there's a certain time in your life when you were a child, you became aware that there was right and wrong. Well, that when you become aware that an idea is true or false and you don't act as if you know that, you become a liar. And then your actions, your fruit will manifest that as a corruption. And it will be easily.
It's your favorite. Yeah. Would have to be your signature sign. So yours is the false witnessing death.
Well, that's the only thing that's the only unforgivable sin. Here's what's so important about this whole thing.
Well, this guy did it literally. And yeah. I now kind of see, I heard him and I was thinking, you brought this murder story mm-hmm. in the middle of a discussion on cheese, ruining the whole thing and putting this image of the Palestinians, you know, shooting.
Brought death into the room.
Yeah.
Brought death into the room. So,
yeah. I really did feel like ringing him up and doing a Dave J on him.
Do it. Do it. The more of that, the better. And in fact, that's what I do tell people. I will walk out of the room if somebody does that. Literally walk out of the room. I drive.
Oh, I switched
2 days
off when I heard that.
I
switched that off. I switched that off because I knew what he was doing. He was introducing
an idea that should not be there
with malintent. Malintent.
So therefore, Rick, you see then the idea that where one's mind is, one body's follows, and there are so-called emotions or time spent will send most people not only to work angry and mad, but to bed angry and mad stories.
It was nighttime. Yeah. It was nighttime, done deliberately.
Yeah, with stories that don't actually matter because they're not real. They're not even. And you know the funny thing is that these people aren't going to do anything about it anyway.
Quite literally.
So it's like you can go out and you can observe and you can do a lot for real and actually pass on to whoever you talk to real observation that is going to be helpful to them, or you can waste their time. Those are always the two choices. It's one or the other.
You got the pure water or you got stagnant old water.
Yeah, it's the well scene. It's the well scene where you walk up here, I can offer you a drink. And then as you walk away, you're like, oh, I'm still thirsty, or I can offer you a drink that you walk away and you're never thirsty again. That's the
I know which one I'd prefer.
Yeah, absolutely.
The amount of money I'm spending on bottled water at the moment, I have to say. Anyway, I think we'll go on to something that one of your discussion on.
What are you interested in?
I'm more interested in the CBD. I'll tell you what I am interested in, the whole thing about CBD, the oils and the benefits, and why is THC important to be part of the healing of the oils, or is it not? Because you get THC extracted oils, which people are still taking and claiming to be, you know, sleeping better, etc.
It's like this, Rick. It's like this. It's this with cannabis. It's as if you're walking into any other herb shop. There's not one bottle. There's lots of different bottles. So if you walk in and you're looking for a relaxation, body relaxation, sleeping, that type of idea, and you want to go towards the CBD side, what I would tend to do, if you wanted to use the idea of the female plant and go with I would give you like a granddaddy purple, something that has a little higher CBD rate. However, it still has a THC rate. Now, if you don't want the mind kind of experience, you just want more of the body relaxation, I would send you to more of a hemp product, which is going to have a higher CBD. And then there's also a THCV and several other little like subcategories that, depending on what you're looking for, is the product I would offer you. Not just to walk in and grab anything and think that you're going to do it. So
I understand. There's so many different things. And that's why I thought I'll ask you. I'll ask
yeah.
you.
So if you're looking for a body relaxation without the head high, I'll just use street terms. Without the head high, you want the body relaxed. You get a CBD product directly, meaning that these are usually ones that are sold even if cannabis is not available. CBD products, because they come from the hemp side of the, or the male side of the plant
spine.
Idea.
Yeah, the male side. Yeah.
So then if you do have access to the female or what most people call cannabis, you would have two sides. You have indica and sativa side. So the sativa being the more on the high end, you have strains, let's say like the Mexican sativa, which is a super, super high end sativa when grown right. And when it's not grown right, it's called brick. Or you have on the other end, you have more indica plants or low lying plants, which will come from indica or India, the idea of your Hindu Kush or plants like that. So then really,
what does Kush mean? K-U-S-H, because it's quite a big word everywhere. Is it a name for a region or a thing?
Well, yeah, it's going to be a region. It's also going to be there was a kingdom called Kush.
Yeah.
There's a Hindu Kush because it's supposedly, you know, this is where it's supposedly, so these are the names given, but supposedly originates from the Hindu Kush mountain range. So then just like with the Skywalker Kush and the Jedi and Death Star, those are all grown in the California Lucas Valley. So the reason that it was grown in Lucas Valley, therefore they named them after the Star Wars. You see how that works. So then, yeah. So other than just being, taken from the area grown, and it's going to, of course, be more of a lower to the ground, more bushy, wide leafed, cannabis leaf versus the Mexican sativa, which is going to be almost like little skinny fingers on your main.
Yeah, completely different.
Yeah. And now most people don't know this, or most people confuse. They think that they smoke, they see the pot plant or they see the pot leaf label and they think that they're smoking the actual leaf. You might put some of that into hash or into wax, but what people smoke is the bud flower. All right. The actual flower itself. All right. Yeah. So then that gets cured. And what curing is basically wicking out the moisture out of the flower over a controlled period so that it doesn't become dry and brittle. It becomes cured and, preserved. All right. So then, as far as your CBD now, I don't know if you can get CBD over there. Can you tell me?
Oh, yeah.
So then just...
You can also now get it medically. I do notice a friend of mine, he was trying to get himself off. He'd been on painkillers.
Right.
And now he's got hold of it's a company over here doing it, and they send you the whatever you want. And he was telling me the other day, he said they send him, the next lot they sent him, he ordered the flower. CBD, what they call it, which would be the head.
That's the flower. That's the actual.
It blew his head. He was absolutely. He said the difference between the previous one and the flower oil was just like 50 times different. He slept extremely well and probably totally relaxed.
Oh yeah,
didn't need his painkillers anymore. So that's what it is. It's a miracle plant, the whole
thing. Oh, yeah.
It's got so many amazing benefits to it. It's just, been absolutely demonized, though, because of the, from the 30s onwards with that, those movies that the plastics industry that came out and put, removed hemp as a natural fiber and brought in all these.
Reefer
Madness, 1930, probably 1933, Dave. I wasn't, but it was probably around that era. It was a very.
I made my own Reefer Madness. I need to find that and re-upload it. I made one in response to that one. Hey, let me read real quick, if you don't mind, a quick 9-9 type of idea. Remember, we're talking about the 6-9-9-9. If you take Isaiah 18 and you read verses 4 and 5, I'm going to read verses 4 and 5, and you tell me what's going on here, all right? For so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs and like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. Now, afore the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he shall both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks and to take away and cut down the branches. What do you think's going on there?
Oh, it sounds like they're manufacturing something to relax people with. Those,
yeah, that's exactly how you do it, too. And so, and what I like most about that is the fourth part. So the Lord said unto me, so my Lord said to me, I will take my rest and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs. And you are his friend. Therefore, you do the same. Because remember, it says that you're no longer a servant because the servant does not know what the master does. You are a friend.
Yeah.
So, and guess what? A sesh, S-E-S-H, or session, as in the regular spelling, is what it's called if you sit around and have a smoke together. It's called a smoke sesh.
Yes, well, sesh is six in, which is it Egyptian or no, it's Egyptian, it's sass. Interesting, I didn't realize, but another one of those secret operation military, the British, the people mm-hmm. go and do all their dirty work and set up countries to fall, the SAS.
It's all controlled demolition.
Hebrew is sesh. Hebrew is sesh. Having a sesh, you're having six.
Well, it's about introducing the present. So they're introducing the present to the natives. Mm.
And interesting, you know, that's Latin. It's sex. S-E-X in Latin is number six. Yeah. Russian is sesti. Sesti, English is six, obviously. Danish is sex, S-E-K-S. Interesting, they all sound the same, but kind of are spelt differently. But sissa, right. Sass, sesh, Hebrew, the sesh. And that was definitely, you're having a sesh with your friends. Yep. You're sitting around smoking. The six is in there.
So it's the idea of being present, too.
It all ties in.
You sit around with a smoking sesh. There's none of this nonsense coming up, man. You're going places. You're doing what we did tonight.
Yeah.
Not wasting time, actually going with places, having something that you can think about when you leave and consider, test, verify, and keep it true.
Accepted the box, open the box.
Yeah, you can look and
be present.
Or drop it. Or guess what? Drop and move on. Waste no more time.
Drop it like it's hot.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
That's hot.
Too hot to handle. Too cold to hold.
Yeah. Oh, well, anyway, I think we'll wind it up now, Dave, because I think we've done
a
normal amount. And we'll, I think we'll go out with, I'll send it to the great Villaset. We'll go out with, If Six Was Nine by Jimi Hendrix, I'll send him the thing for him to put out whenever he can do it. Thank you, Joel, for doing that fade in gently with the music last week for the sway of the verses as Dave was winding the show up. Very impressive. Did a good job.
Right.
10 out of 10. So on that note. We'll chat afterwards. Yeah.
I'll kick out Craigbot.
And everyone, you've been listening to Bongversation number 5 on the number 6. A bit confusing, but episode 5 on number 6. And If Six Was Nine will be the lead out song. So thanks, Dave, for another wonderful show.
Absolutely.
Full of information. I really didn't say anything throughout the thing. I could just add my little bits and pieces, but very, very interesting. And I love that discussing. I'm going to have to start going and looking back into Hellraiser. Oh, that's a fact.
It's one of those things where you can just, if it's not that, because some of those are a little bit too gruesome. There's plenty of other ones.
Not very gruesome.
And they all tell you the same thing, though. They're all different. The reason that they make them gruesome is so that you miss the point. It's like, oh, that was so gross, and you missed the point of what they were saying. So it's almost easier just to look up the script, because if you read the scripts of these movies, it takes you maybe 30, 40 minutes, not very long at all. Because most movies are more just time waste. So you can read the script quite quickly and see what they're talking about. And then you can see by what nature, by what power, and by what spirit those movies are being brought to. You can sense it. And we decoded all that, and we found out together that the spirit spoken about was simply Satan, as it always is. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and kick out the old Craigbot.
Thanks, Dot.
If the sun refuses to shine, I don't mind. I don't mind. If the mountains fell in the sea, let it be. It ain't me. Yeah. Now if a six turned out to be nine, oh, I don't mind. Oh, I don't mind. If all the hippies cut off all their hair, oh, I don't care. Oh, I don't care. Dig.
White collar conservative flashing down the street, pointing their plastic finger at me. They're hoping soon my can will drop and die, but I'm gonna wave my freak flag high. High! Wow! Just don't fall on me. Going on, Mr. Businessman. You can't dress like me. Play on drums.